This morning, I'm going to bring a word, just something the Lord's been stirring in my heart. And in some interaction with Lee, Lee has something that she's actually going to bring at the front end of this. For those that don't know Lee, Lee is our prophetic leader. She has been part of our leadership core for, oh gosh, I don't even know how long. A long time. But Lee is going to bring something that she has in her heart just by way of front end to what I'm going to share in the Word. And then together we're just going to bring something that God is bringing from His heart. So Heavenly Father, as we turn to Your Word this morning, we just ask afresh for a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of You. We ask, Lord, that You would open Your Word to our heart. Open our eyes to see truth that we have not been able to see before this moment. Thank You for Your journey in our lives up to this point and for the revelation and the breakthrough that You have for us in this moment. I thank You also, Lord, in light of some of the prophetic flow, that there is a fresh understanding of where life or the enemy has chased some away from something You're calling us back to. And that there is even a work of restoration that comes with this word this morning. So we thank You, Father, for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's just going to take a couple minutes. I had been talking with Steve, and so I was asking the Lord if He had anything for me to share, just a little something. And I opened the word to Matthew 13, verse 10, and following. But this is the verse that sort of stood out to me, and the disciples had come to Jesus, and they had said to Him, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And so I'm thinking, okay, that's a good question. Have you ever asked the Lord, "Why do you speak in parables?" Because there are many, many parables in the New Testament. And so when they asked Him that, Jesus said, to you, it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them, it has not been granted. So what did He mean by that? And so he would teach the crowds with stories or parables, which what parables are stories that illustrate a moral or a spiritual truth or principle. But when He was teaching the crowd with the stories, they still couldn't see that He was revealing the kingdom to them. And so there's a prophecy in the book of Isaiah that speaks about this. And so they, the crowds, were actually fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy. And this is what Isaiah said. He said, "For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and they would return to Me, and I would heal them." So He's speaking of the religious Jews to whom Jesus was addressing the parables, as well as His disciples. So all of the crowd were not necessarily all His disciples. And so in Matthew, Jesus said to His disciples who had asked Him that question, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And so He told them, because it hasn't been granted to them to know the mysteries, simply because they refuse to hear, they refuse to see, they refuse to understand. And Jesus said to them, "But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear." And so He's speaking to His disciples. He's speaking to you here today. Blessed are your eyes, because they do see, and your ears, because they do hear. And He told them, He went on to tell them that there had been many prophets and righteous men that had really greatly desired to see and understand and hear what His disciples were seeing and hearing in His day. And then after that, if you read that passage, he's speaking, he goes on to speak about the parable of the sower. So in a way, this is what I wanted to bring out, that what Jesus was explaining to his disciples was the difference between the natural mind and the spiritual mind. And so in Corinthians, you can read this later, 1 Corinthians 2 and verses 11 to 14, I'm just going to paraphrase it here. So that what that passage says is no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And we have received the Spirit of God when we were born again, so that we might know what God has freely given to us. And Paul tells us the natural man, the man that is not born again, that has not, does not have the Spirit of God, cannot receive or know the things of the Spirit. It's just foolishness to him, because these things must be spiritually discerned with a spiritual mind. And that's what Jesus was saying to his disciples, to you, you have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to understand, but they don't. And so he was explaining the things of the Spirit and the ways that the Spirit works to his disciples, even then revealing the mysteries. So it was to his disciples that he revealed the spiritual meaning of his words. And that's what he does to us today. So he put before them the pathway, and then he would give them choices. It's always a choice. And so the Lord is still teaching us that way, still using the parables to teach us those things. And that's what he's going to do today, as Steve is going to unfold the parable of the sower. So what I wanted to say to you is listen very carefully and identify your soil. That's what the Lord wants us to see. What kind of soil am I? So I would encourage you to hear, to see, to understand, and then to go the next step, which is to apply, you know, what the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to your heart, to your own personal walk, and your own relationship with the Lord. Amen. So the Lord has mysteries to reveal to you today. Amen. And if we will hear with the heart of the Spirit, the mind of the Spirit that is within us, we'll hear it. We'll see it. We'll understand it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lee. Okay. Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 4. And I'm not going to read the whole natural side, as Lee talked about the natural and the spiritual. I'm not going to read the natural just because there's so much here, and I want to get to the spiritual, but we'll see some of the natural as Jesus explains. So we're going to start reading at Mark 4. And I'm going to read verse 14 down to verse 32. So I'm just going to move into the insights of the kingdom that Jesus was bringing and bring a little bit of practical understanding into our lives. So starting here at Mark 4, I'm going to read from verse 13. And the scripture will be on the screen there as well, so you can follow along. And then we'll go back to the beginning and we'll extract some things here. So verse 13, it says, and he said, do you not understand this parable? And this is the parable of the sower sowing the seed, and then the multiple different soils, from the rich soil to the rocky soil, the different types of soil. So do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. Verse 15, and these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. And in a similar way, these are the ones in whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. They have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, and the worries or the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it, and they bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. And he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a peck measure, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it should come to light. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, I shall be measured to you, and more shall be given to you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Now we move into a new parable, verse 26. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night, gets up by day, the seed sprouts up and grows. How he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And one more parable, verse 30. And he said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms the large branches so that the birds of the air will rest under its shade. Now, three back-to-back parables. And there's one significant theme that you see in each of these parables. Each of them are talking about a seed. Parable one, the word is compared to a seed. Parable two, the kingdom is compared to seed sown in the soil. Parable three, moving specifically into the mustard seed, the kingdom is like a mustard seed. So if we take the theme, the seed, Jesus is talking to us about this principle to the seed. Now, before we pull out anything about this, I want you to go back and notice verse 23, because sandwiched in the midst of these parables is a pretty strong statement. Verse 23, it says, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, as Lee mentioned, there's the spirit, there's the natural. Well, right now you're hearing me talk. So your natural ear is hearing sound waves, which is coming forth as words. That's natural. That's human. So when Jesus said, if any man has ears to hear, well, everybody was hearing him because he'd been speaking to the multitudes. So if he's saying, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear, he's not talking now in application. He's not talking about, did you hear my voice? Just because I, Jesus, am talking, he wasn't saying, whoever hears my voice. That's not what he's talking about, because he's transitioned from the natural parable that they all understood to now application to connect us to the kingdom of God. And so when he says this statement, whoever has ears to hear, he's actually saying not everybody is going to hear the things that God is trying to speak. You can sit in a gathering like this, or at a Bible study, or listening to a CD, watching a DVD, or any conference, and you can be sitting on a chair, and all of a sudden, whoa, did you see that? You're nudging your neighbor. Look at, like, whoa, I've never seen that before. Wow. And they're like, huh? They're listening to the same speaker, say the same message, and you're sitting there having a holy wow, and they're saying you're a little holy weirdo. Because you're hearing by virtue of revelation that God has brought to your understanding, while they're sitting there hearing with their ear, but they're not receiving anything from God. And this is why we pray often, or I try to every time that I speak or teach, Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1 verse 17, that he would give to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Why? Because I'm saying, summary, God, help me have a hearing ear. Help me hear not just the natural words that are coming out of a mouth of a person. Help me to receive revelation that you are trying to break through, because one word from God could change your life forever. If it breaks through, okay? So we're into now the spiritual side of what Jesus was referring to. And then verse 24, he was saying to them, take care by what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given to you. Okay, take care what you listen to. Now, this is a very big deal, and in a minute, I'm going to shift into a warrior state. Because I believe in the Spirit, as we've already identified, that there is a warfare over, earlier prophetically, it was the light shining that has been snuffed out for some. I'm going to change the language here, and I'm going to call it a seed that was once rising that has been shut down, or it has been put out or stopped from its growth. And I believe in the Spirit today, what God is wanting to do for those that were here and for whom this is for, I believe that he wants to call some of us back to a seed that was once growing or a light that was once shining, but for whatever reason, the light got snuffed out and the seed got shut down, and you never saw the harvest of what God would have done if you held to the seed or if you held to the light. Okay, now we're going there in a moment, but look at verse 24 again. He was saying to them, take care what you listen to. Now why in the middle of three parables is this phrase? Because if God planted a seed in someone's heart, and the enemy got away with taking that seed, whatever he and God intended in you, and got you to move away from that seed, now Jesus comes and says, take care what you're listening to, because I started something, and through the enemy's intent, he moved you away from that something, and you've listened to something other than the seed that I had planted in the soil of your hearts. Or there was a moment when the light was shining brightly in your life, and the enemy knew he couldn't turn out the light because it was the Lord himself. So instead, he shifted his attention to get you away from where the light was shining. So suddenly you find yourself living in a dark place, and it was never God's intent. So take care what you listen to, because it's not just, you know, everyday chatter we're talking about. Put it in the context. We're talking about a war over a seed of something God wants to do. If we don't take care as to who our counselors are, as to who the voices are, you can be counseled, good counsel, but away from the seed that God was doing in your life. Good counsel can move you away from the seed that God was doing. And the problem is, when it's still in seed form or its roots are going down, nobody can see the seed. So they're going to counsel by the natural man based on what they see. They don't have the revelation of the seed of what God has been revealing to you. So they're going to counsel, good counsel, but not based on the seed that's under the soil trying to take root to sprout. They're going to counsel from the natural man what they see. And they can counsel you away from the seed that was taking root in your life. So take care what you listen to. Because the voice of the enemy, even through godly people, intends to counsel us away from the God intent. Take care. And I'm here, I believe, by the Spirit this morning to say to some of you, there's no judgment here. There's no, God's not mad at you at all. So don't perceive this to be an angry God moment. This is not an angry God. This is a God warring over a seed. I believe in the Spirit this morning that there are some sitting here that you didn't take care what, or perhaps we can say it this way, whom you listened to, and you were moved away from a seed. Take care whom, take care what you listen to. Because if you have been counseled different than the seed that God himself had started to grow into your life, then that counsel will counsel you away from God's seed. Now, let's go back to verse 13, and let's take a look at this. Just spend a few minutes pulling out a couple nuggets. Verse 13, Jesus said, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables?" In other words, this, I like to call it, is the granddaddy of them all. I can say that now because I'm a granddaddy. The granddaddy's the best. I'm being facetious. He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables?" And then he starts now with the seed. The sower sows the word. So the word of God is being compared to a seed. So how big is any seed when it is planted? Tiny. Its impact is tiny. Its growth is tiny. It hasn't yet produced its potential. So here we are, the sower sows the word. Verse 15, "These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them." Now, how quickly does it say the enemy comes and steals? Immediately. And what does it say that he steals? The seed that was being sown in them. Michelle, we're not going to turn there. Can you put up the Matthew 13 passage? And we'll put it up on the screen, so I won't have you turn there. But Matthew's rendition of the same parable, I want us to see verse 18 and 19 because he gives us a nugget of insight. Okay, Matthew 13, look at verse 18. "Hear then the parable of the sower." So same story, just Matthew's rendition. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road." Now, in Mark's account, how quickly did the enemy come? Immediately. In Matthew's account, he tells us how the enemy comes. The seed is sown. When the seed is sown, what was not taking place yet? Understanding hadn't broken through. Because if we don't hear through spiritual ears, you can hear anybody speak and never receive anything from God, even though the mouth is going lots. You can even read your Bible and do your wonderful daily devotions to be satisfying to God and hear absolutely nothing. Now, I say that facetiously because that doesn't in any way make God more happy with us. But we can do our, whatever our routines are, have the word of God open to us again and again and again in various forms, and never receive any understanding that God actually wants to plan in our life. Ground level warfare. The enemy doesn't want anybody to receive seed, revelation, or understanding from God's word. Because he knows if revelation comes, number one, what does God's word actually say? If that revelation comes, number one, and then number two, if revelation concerning the kingdom, the intent that he's trying to raise up in my life does not come into my being, my inner being, then how am I even going to take my first step in the God direction if all I'm doing is putting time in Bible studies, but I've never, never received any revelation from God? How do I know when I'm going down a path and I haven't got a clue if it's the right one or wrong one? I'm just going it because it's what I do every week, serving a routine. So the enemy comes, and here's the first thing that he wants to fight over every one of our lives. He does not want any one of us to gain any understanding of the ways of God for you and for me. Well-meaning people, "I intended to come to that event. Last minute, something came up. Oh, I'm too busy." Well, that could be the enemy potentially chasing people away because I don't want them to receive understanding. You might hear something taught. You might. One of the things I love about our midweek study that we do is anyone has free rein at any time to pause, to ask. Because understanding is the key to the beginning of our journey with anything that God wants us to do. This is one of the reasons why God has given the gift of teaching to the body of Christ. Because he wants the teaching gift to help unlock understanding. Before I had this revelation, I used to travel lots and teach standing close to God. And I would have this repeated comment said to me. And it never made sense to me until Mark 4 became alive. People would say, Steve, I've heard this before, this teaching. But I don't know why, but this is the first time I got understanding. Man, I'd hear that. I'd go town to town, city to city. It didn't matter where I was. That was the most common comment. All right, back in the day, I used to have, you know, evaluation sheets, just learning what we could improve. And commonly people would say, this isn't new. But for the first time, I got understanding. And they don't have a clue. Booyah, we just defeated the enemy, ground level one. Because for whatever reason, up until that point, whatever was known to them in past had not broken through with understanding. So they've been hearing it in whatever form, but that was the day that understanding broke through. Suddenly, the enemy lost some ground because the day understanding comes, the kingdom has been able to break through and seed of something has been revealed. And suddenly now the devil just lost territory. There is a war over our understanding. Now let's go back to Mark 4 here. And let's move on. What I'll call ground level 2. So understanding of something has come. Revelation has come. The direction of the Lord has come. Whatever it is. In verse 16. And in the similar way, these are the ones whom seed was sown in the rocky place. For when they heard the word, immediately they receive it with joy. Have you ever had that moment when something broke through, an understanding, an insight, and whoa, yes, I'm so excited. You come home from a conference, high as a kite. You come out of a Bible study, woohoo, that was a good one. And you're doing great because something of God's kingdom got revelation to you. Something fresh, something new, maybe something restored, but something got in you that was not there before. So you come and joy is the natural response. Joy is not the problem. The lack of understanding of the enemy is the problem. Because notice what happens when the one full of joy comes away. It then says, verse 17, and they have no firm root in themselves, but they are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. So what happens? I got some understanding. I got some insight of what the kingdom of God is telling me he wants me to do or the direction he wants me to go. And suddenly that revelation is there. I'm so excited, wanting to tell the world. And while I'm ready to tell the world, the enemy's saying, uh-oh, we lost ground level one. They got understanding. So we're going to change our tactic. Because he can't stop the seed that was planted. So if he failed to stop the seed that was planted, change the tactic. What's he going to do? I got to get that seed that is in that soil out of that soil. I got to unpluck it because if the seed stays in the soil, all seed in the right soil will grow according to its kind. And so if Jesus comes and he says, hey, the kingdom of God is like a seed. The word of God is like a seed. Everything that God does begins as a seed. And he puts that seed on the inside of us. That means the moment the revelation or the understanding comes in, at that moment, the devil's saying, I got to do something to uproot the seed because the seed that God began, if it's allowed to continue to grow, it will produce a harvest that is the enemy's worst nightmare. Well, where's that seed? It's right here. How does he do it? Verse 17 tells us, this one comes with joy. They have no firm root in themselves. They're only temporary. Well, why is a seed only temporary? If the roots have not had a chance to grow deeply, you just throw a little bit of water and you'll wash that seed right away. And so here we are often excited about the seed of something that God is revealing that he wants to do. And we potentially even get aggressive around the seed. And here's God saying, hey, the problem's not the seed and the problem's not what you see that the seed's going to produce. The problem is it hasn't sprouted or it hasn't rooted yet and it hasn't sprouted yet. So you want to take the seed and try to live like the seed's a harvest. How about we just stick with the seed and we start watering it? We commit time to it. We don't shrink back from it. How about you just start putting all your energy on that seed and fight for it to not be snuffed out? But if I don't see in terms of the kingdom as a seed and the word as a seed, all I'm doing is thinking about being excited about what I just got in Revelation. Years ago, when the Lord spoke the word to me, we came east fully anticipating. We're going to take on Atlantic Canada. Here we go, baby. I tell you, you want to know a bucking horse? I was a wild, wild bucking horse with great vision, vim, and vigor. And actually, backtrack, before we physically came east, I was invited to speak at a conference, and when the word of the Lord came to my heart, I had no problem delivering the word. I had a lot of problem handling the enemy's counterattack. I was bold as a lion speaking the word God gave me. What I wasn't ready for was when my butt hit the chair that all the gates of hell were going to say, we got to snuff this seed out. We got to snuff this word out. And I didn't know how weak I was. I didn't know how unprepared I was for that which the enemy was throwing. And that woke me up. Oh my. I might be ready to communicate what God you're telling me, but I may not be ready to handle what the enemy throws at me after I communicate what you're telling me. I wasn't ready, and I didn't know it. And so God used that to teach this. But then when we physically came east, and we're here, and I'm ready. God, you sent us east. It was a big word. We're ready for it. And then the word of the Lord comes to my heart. But he'd already shocked me into attention, thankfully. I want you to stay hidden. That was so opposite everything the seed in me envisioned, because I was ready to take on the region and beyond. But what God was saying was, Steve, you may have clear enough vision of what I want to do, but that seed hasn't grown enough up in your life that you can stand the ground when the enemy hits you for what I am doing. You are not ready. The seed's ready, but you're not. Now, if I didn't understand Mark 4, thankfully we came east with Mark 4, I would have quit long time ago. I would have abandoned ship when, whether it was my failure or the failures of others, it's been both, but in the midst of that, we would have quit and abandoned ship if we didn't understand that there was a warfare over the seed. And so my job, your job, is to take whatever the seed is of God's word, God's vision, God's intent, God's revelation, and my job, your job, is to say, hey, God, you know how much I'm ready to advance into that word. And if it means right now I stay hidden to just water the seed, that's protecting the seed from not being snuffed out and destroyed. Because take care what you listen to. Because the enemy is going to get counsel close to you to counsel you away from the seed of what God intended. And if that seed is not strong enough on the inside of you and sprouting and growing, then good counsel will counsel you away from the seed that's still in the soil taking root and starting to sprout. Even godly people can be used by the enemy to counsel us away from God's seed. Take care. Now, one thing that I absolutely love about this verse is, look at here, verse 17 again. They have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises. Now, I love this phrase. Look what it says. Because of the, say it with me. Because of the word. Now, if we put it in context of the next two parables, Jesus said the whole kingdom is compared to a seed. The word is being compared to a seed. So let's change it just for a minute and take the word seed instead of the word word. Okay? It says, immediately, when affliction or persecution arises, let's change the word there, the word that's word, to seed. Okay? So it says, affliction or persecution arises because of the seed. So whatever the revelation is that God has just established or been working in, or whatever the insight of the kingdom that he wants to do through you, because of that seed, what's the next part say? What's the next word? Immediately. Now pause. We already read, who comes immediately before understanding is gained? The enemy, because his war is over the seed. I don't want you to get an understanding. I don't want you to get a revelation. We're still in war zone here. This is ground level two now. So who's now brewing behind the scenes saying, oh no, the seed's gotten in them. I couldn't stop them from hearing. I couldn't stop them from seeing. I couldn't stop them from coming back to the thing that God had once started. Oh no, I can't stop that. So now, because of the seed, immediately, and what does it say that comes? Persecution and affliction. Now, persecution, simple. It's voices. Voices that will counsel you against the seed. This can be a corporate seed. This can be a personal seed. This can be a seed over a business of God's plan. It doesn't matter where it lands. It's wherever the kingdom of God is being revealed and being at work. I remember, you know, years ago, I'll be the first to tell you, I didn't have clarity of what this meant. But one of the things that I knew is that God had planted in my heart this calling to impact, well, we'll call it today's language, marketplace. Back then, I would have just said business. I didn't have, thanks to Lance Wallnau, a better perspective of the marketplace, the different spheres of God's intent to invade. And so years ago, before I had understanding of what the seed looked like, I had this insight. There's something in me that is to connect with business. And any time that would come out of my mouth with people that were close to me, I would get walloped between the eyes. And things like this would be said. Steve, all you think about is money. I don't recall ever saying anything about money. Wallop, all you think about is greed. You're greedy. I don't recall talking about material things. Funny how these random thoughts will come, but what were they designed to do? What was the persecution for? I want to attack the seed. Now today, I've been doing lots of work, working with leaders from government to business to education to helping hearts change and move towards the kingdom. And it's not about money at all. It's about changing leaders in the marketplace to become kingdom-minded, to become a kingdom leader, whether they're saved or unsaved. But what was the voice back then saying? The devil, he didn't even understand the full seed, but he knew enough that anything that's from God, I got to kill it. So persecution came. These lies, and unfortunately, what would I do? I'd just cower. I'd quit because the seed wasn't strong enough. Now, if somebody wants to walk up to me and say, Steve, you're just full of greed because you want to help leaders change, I'd say, shut up and get behind me. Now, I may not be that blunt unless you're that blunt to me. I might be that blunt back, but there's no fight over the seed anymore. I'm not confused. Because I understand more of the seed because it sprouted and coming up. In fact, just a month or so ago, I laid down what's economically a good opportunity because I knew it was time because God was shifting and advancing more understanding to work with leaders in the marketplace. And I just walked away from some money, which we need, because I knew God was maturing the seed, and it's time to let that go because it's not the full picture of the seed. This is God growing up a seed in our life. The enemy, all he's going to do is say, I just got to bring some kind of persecution to snuff the seed out, to counsel you away from whatever God began. So persecution comes. Why? Because of the seed. Affliction comes. Simple from the Greek, distress caused in our outer circumstances. How come every time I move in this direction, it seems like out of the blue, all hell breaks loose? because all hell might be trying to snuff out a seed and get your attention to say, let's focus on hell's activity, all the distress, instead of the seed itself. That's a strategy of the enemy. When I was in seminary, this was all a secret back then because this was not, you know, considered okay by many theologically, but I had a Baptist doctor, theologian, teach a course on spiritual warfare in seminary. He was leading a deliverance team in a Baptist church, and they had no clue that there was a deliverance team in his church, because if they found out, they'd probably kick him out. Well, I took a teaching, one course, on spiritual warfare by this man. Brand new to me at that time. Never even heard of such a concept. And I got some insights from him, but here's one thing he shared. He said, we tell nobody, we solicit nobody. Week after week, we're inundated with people requesting help. They're struggling and they need freedom. And he says, week by week, he says, even across the nation of Canada, people were coming to us. And half of our church didn't even have a clue what was going on, because they would have been against it if they found out that there was this team meeting privately. He said, then one day this fire broke out in their church. Not literal fire, people fire. Ever seen any of those? It's like all hell just showed up in some relationships and blah, drama personified. And so it was so intense, they realized we could lose the whole work. So they stopped the deliverance ministry and they shifted all their corporate energy. We got to put this fire out because this will cost us our whole church. Just as they got the fire out, whoosh, another one broke out. More drama, more people, more challenge. And they're like, oh my goodness, this is so big. If this one doesn't get put out, we're going to lose the church. So they put all their energy until they saw that fire subdued and they got it out. Guess what happened? Whoosh, another fire. Now all the while, they're missing the point that they'd stopped doing what God had them do, which was to set people free. And the fruits, like people, he said, people were coming to us. If this doesn't work, I'm killing myself because I'm at my end. So you're my last chance. These are the kinds of people that were coming to them, and they were getting free. That's why people kept coming, because the stories of freedom is what drew more people. And so he said, one person in our little Baptist group had a word from the Lord. This is the enemy's strategy, to distract us from the seed. So let's ignore the enemy and get back to the seed. So they made a conscious decision. We're going back to setting people free. Guess what happened? Whoosh, another fire broke out. And they said, ha, we call your bluff. We see now what you're doing. We are going to ignore you and water the seed. And it looked like they're going to lose everything. And he said, within a very short period of time, when the enemy realized this is failing, he backed off, and the seed continued to sprout and produce its harvest. Do you see the strategy of the enemy? I want to get you so distressed and so worked up by circumstances, the intent is just to shift your attention so the light that was shining is suddenly dark because it's here, but you're over here. There was a seed that was planted, and the persecution and the distress came, it got in, and when it got in, the seed that was growing is now withered and actually dead in the soil. Because distractions came, distress came, the enemy's intent came to move people away from the seed. Who potentially can have this warfare? Every child of God? Shall I rephrase it? Who has experienced this warfare? Every child of God, whether we've seen it or not, we have experienced it. And so what is the war here? What is the call here? There's lots more there that can pull us away from the seed. I'm not going to open up. What is the call here? The call first is to recognize that whatever God begins, it begins as a seed. Always small. For some, That's not okay. I need it big because my identity is in the big. Okay? So for some, a small beginning is not okay. But everything starts small. Guaranteed, what will the enemy do? He will attack the seed. But guess where the seed is? Me. But what's he really attacking? The seed. The kingdom of God. The revelation of God. He's not even attacking you. You and I just feel the effects of it and get all worked up by it. We get all stirred up by somebody saying something ugly about us, and then we've got to get all involved to clean all that ugliness up. When the Lord's saying, you know what? If you just shut up, stop reacting to the uglies, and just get back to my seed, it will all disappear. Oh, you'll have new uglies come your way. Don't you worry. But don't focus on the uglies. How about we focus on the seed? Because I want to grow something up of my harvest in your life. You see, what's the end result of this? Look at verse 20. We're going to end. Look at verse 20. Those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. They heard the word. They accepted it. They bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. Verse 21, he was saying, a lamp is not brought to be put under a peck measure or under a bed. It's not meant to be hidden and concealed. It's meant to grow in such influence that it will shine in radiance and impact many. That's the seed growing up. That's us individually growing up. That's corporately something that God said he wants to do, actually able to grow up into its fullness of his intent. So the question comes down for us. Is there any area in our individual life where the enemy has been able to chase us from the seed of something that God had begun? Well, the good news in God, Jesus became sin. Jesus became the curse. He paid the entire penalty. Our part is to come back to the seed, or come back to that light that he's shining. He's the great restorer. One thing I appreciated about God over the years of our journey is every time I would fail and then be restored in some form, I always found myself back in the same place. Why? Because the seed never changes. The vision never changes. The word of the Lord doesn't change. So what's he doing? Steve, I'm warring over the seed again. Doesn't matter that you failed four times. My son paid the price. I'm warring over the seed. Get back to the seed. Get back to what I started. Get back to what I showed you. Get back to what I said. Get back to that revelation that started that journey. Doesn't matter if it's a week, a month, a year, 10 years, 20 years. Get back to the seed. Get back to what he began. And I believe right now, there has been many here that the enemy has gotten away with chasing people away from the seed of what God had begun. Guess what we get to do? Put our foot down and say, enough. And like that little story, I'm going to ignore you. Ha. I'm going to call your bluff. Ha. Not even going to give attention to it. Ha. La, 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 la. Oh, were you talking? I'm sorry, I didn't notice. You see, that's the posture we take when we realize the enemy. Oh, he doesn't care about you. You and I are nothing. The seed is everything. So it's not even about us. Don't think high about you. Think high about the seed. That's what the devil's after. Just happens to need a body or two for the seed to grow up in. But it's not about us. It's about the seed. And so we can be like that little kid, la, 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 and just say, were you talking to me? I didn't even notice. Sorry. When you know full well, man, you knew I was talking. Yeah. But now I know who's been talking. So therefore, la, 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 la. Now I know it's you, and I'm just not willing to listen to you. Back to the seed. Back to the seed. Back to the seed. Heavenly Father, you know in every individual where the seed has been snuffed, where the seed has been pushed aside, where the light that was once shining is now more darkness than it is light. You know every place. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would cause a major restorative work to begin to bring people back to what you've said, what you started, what you spoke, so the seed of your intent will not be snuffed out because we recognize who has been warring against the seed. I pray over the seed, Father, that's been sitting right now, even in some that have been dormant and lost, and I say, seed of the kingdom of God, you come back to life now in Jesus' name. Be restored. 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 The Lord says this morning, it's not too late. It's not over from His perspective. Do not shrink back. It's not too late. You are not too far gone. Be restored. Be restored. Seed, be restored in Jesus' name. Just saw in my spirit, I don't know if this is literal words someone said, but this describes something, somebody in their past, and this is a spiritual application to something. If there's something natural, I'm not speaking to that. I'll leave that with you and the Lord. But the Lord just showed me, whether this is one person or a group of people, I don't know, but the Lord just showed me that some, your interpretation is the abortion happened so there's no chance for it to be raised from the dead. And the Lord just showed me this abortion and this belief, but the Lord says there is still a chance for me to raise from the dead what you thought was dead. So to whomever this is for, do not consider abortion as the end of the plan of God, but as the beginning of a new season in your life if you will let the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords lay hold of your heart. Do not adopt the mindset that it has been aborted, it is too late, it is too far gone. I cut that thought and that mindset off now in Jesus' name. And I release seeds that have been held up in captivity to begin to come forth again. And there will be harvests of the kingdom of God revealed because of seeds today that have been restored and been brought back to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give praise, we give honor and glory to you. Thank you, Lord.